Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Hey, I'm Rach.
And I'm Dean. And we're from Joy Breakfast.
We hope you enjoy this Joy podcast.
You're on Joy Breakfast and it's Ace Week right now. It's a week dedicated to raising awareness of the community that exists within the asexual umbrella and to create positive change around the world. An Australian group that works towards this all year round, not just for a week, is Australian Asexuals. And we're so grateful to be joined now by Kerry from the group to tell us more about it. Welcome to Joy Breakfast, Kerry.
Thanks.
Now, asexuals can be a broad umbrella term for a wide range of identities. Can you give us a brief introduction to the Ace Plus community and what sort of identities they are?
So, in short, asexuality is a sexual orientation that is defined by experiencing little to no sexual attraction. So, in its most basic sense, it just means, someone who, doesn't experience sexual attraction to anyone. There are also a lot of more nuanced labels, such as gray asexuality, which is when someone experiences sexual attraction very infrequently, as well, such that they relate more to being asexual than to not being asexual. And there's demisexuality, which means that someone only experiences sexual attraction after developing an emotional bond with a person. It should be important to note that all of these definitions refer to how somebody experiences attraction, and it's separate from behavior. So some asexual people do have sex, so it's not just about choosing not to have sex. It's whether somebody feels that attraction or not.
Yeah, yesterday on the show, we did a bit of a quiz to try and see if people could understand what the different terms meant. And it's funny how, we just realized how misinformed people were or many assumptions they made. Sorry, you were saying?
It should also be noted that in the asexual community in particular, we often make the clear distinction between sexual attraction and other forms of attraction. So, for example, distinguishing sexual and romantic attraction is important to a lot of us because some people who do not experience sexual attraction, they do experience romantic attraction and they still want romantic relationships. And we call this the split attraction model. And so, for example, somebody can be aromantic asexual, so that's no sexual or romantic attraction, or they can be romantic asexual, and the romantic orientations can take the same prefixes as sexual attraction, so somebody can be hetero or homoromantic, etc.
So, Kerry, how did you discover your ace identity?
So, I consider myself relatively lucky in that I discovered the concept of asexuality when I was 14, when I saw a link to AVEN on Life Journal. So AVEN is Asexual Visibility and Education Network, which is a website that's been around since the early 2000s. It's the kind of longest running existing asexual online community. And back then, I think I read about the idea and thought it made logical sense that if somebody could be straight, gay, bi, etc., then the asexual is kind of the logical other possibility. But at that age, I didn't think it was relevant to myself yet, but I think by the time I was 16, I noticed that my classmates were talking about who they found attractive or having partners, etc., and then I realized, actually, logically, it would make sense to say that I'm asexual because I wasn't into any of that. So at that stage, I think I was still conflating the concepts of asexual and aromantic. And it was only later on when I engaged a bit more in the asexual community that I learned these were separate things. And I kind of make the point to specify that I'm aromantic and asexual because conflating the concepts would be well, doing a disservice to the rest of the community for the people who are one but not the other.
What was it like for you finding your community in that way, that identified the same way as you?
So even though I knew fairly early on that I was asexual, I didn't really feel the need to engage in that community until a little bit later yet, when I went to university and started having a broader social circle. One of the issues I had at the time was that I had a lot of unwanted attention. So for context, I'm a transgender man, and before I started my medical transition, so I therefore I'm still looked female, and yeah. I had a lot of attention from men. And the issue I had the most was these were people in my social circles whom I otherwise got along quite well with, and that interest from them kind of really ruined the dynamic, and yeah. I wasn't very happy about that. And I've always been very honest with them about being asexual, and a lot of them made invalidating comments, and I think that was what motivated me to seek out the asexual community, to find people who could relate to that experience. And also that motivated me to put effort into raising awareness about asexuality.
So Ace Week was previously known as Ace Awareness Week and was renamed to Ace Week in 2019. Why do you feel these periods of acknowledgement are important, and an important way to raise more than just awareness about the community, you know, for 1 week, but all year round?
I think, this concept of having special days and weeks, it's that's how things are done, where as much as awareness and acceptance matters all year round, there is a point in finding time to focus on it and really run events and put the information out there. This is how we get attention, and we've made progress over the years, and the week being originally Asexual Awareness Week to now being Ace Week, it does reflect the fact that we have made progress over the years, and we need more than just awareness, and Ace Week is now an opportunity for us to discuss a lot of nuanced issues relating to the asexual community.
You're part of the Australian Asexuals Group, which was founded in Sydney, and they work with the ACE Plus community all around the country. Can you just tell us a bit about the types of things the group does and how people can get involved with them?
So Australian Asexuals mainly focuses on reaching the wider LGBTQIA plus community through participating in Pride events. Yeah, the name was first used in 2016 when we participated in the Sydney Mardi Gras Parade. We since branched out to having stores at events like Mardi Gras Fair Day, so we've also been to the Coastal Twist, and our Melbourne team had a store at Midsummer as well. We have an online presence on social media. Look up Australian Asexuals. As an organization, we kind of we connected to groups at all the major cities around Australia and find out more about our events on social media. And we find your local group via our directory, and one can get more involved via the local groups.
Love that. So if you would like to find your local group, you can find out more by heading to Australian Asexuals website. It's australianasexuals.com, or on their socials, like on Instagram, Australian_asexuals. Kerry, thank you so much for joining me this morning and chatting all things Ace Plus with us today. Really appreciate it.
Good talking to you.
And happy Ace Week.
Hey, I'm Rach.
And I'm Dean, and I hope you enjoyed this little snippet of the fun we bring to air as a part of Joy Breakfast during weekdays.
Don't forget to tune in from 7 till 9 a.m. or like and subscribe to the Joy Podcast.
And keep yourself out loud and proud.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.